From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman, in for Brian Mackey today. It's week four of the second term of President Donald Trump. Here's the latest roundup of reports from just the last 24 hours.
President Trump says today he'll announce new tariffs of 25% on all steel and aluminum imports into the U.S.
For many immigrants, the fear of being detained by law enforcement is affecting their health care. In Chicago, hundreds are skipping appointments and leaving prescriptions at the pharmacy since President Trump returned to office.
Her patient skipped an appointment to get lab work done, but finally showed up a week later. The patient was in tears.
And she's like, right now, I just I'm so afraid, and I can't go anywhere, and I can't go to the hospital. Like, I can't do anything.
On the domestic side of things, we see Elon Musk rolling through federal agencies and, in some cases, leaving them decimated.
I think what stood out to me, Aisha, was just the scope and speed of what is happening. You know, we've seen the administration essentially try to shut down a federal agency, USAID, get rid of thousands of employees, gut the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, take over the cultural arts by firing the board of the Kennedy Center here in Washington, D.C., and then you saw the president naming himself as the chairman. So there is so much, I would say, breaking of institutions that is occurring simultaneously.
Some are wondering how the Democratic majority in Illinois is responding to all this, and joining us now to talk about all that is Alex Degman. He covers the State House for NPR stations across Illinois. Good morning, Alex.
Sorry about that. I had myself muted. Hi, thanks.
No problem. Listeners, you can join our conversation. Give us a call at 800-222-9455. We'll be talking about this for the next 15 minutes or so if you have a question or comment. 800-222-9455. Alex, the U.S. Department of Justice filed a lawsuit last week claiming that sanctuary policies in Illinois that keep local authorities from cooperating with the deportation effort are exacerbating a crisis at the U.S. southern border. How are Democratic leaders here responding?
Well, Republican politicians and conservative thought leaders have for a pretty long time said that Chicago, Cook County, and Illinois policies are part of the reason why so many people are trying to come here in the first place. Now, some people understand what our laws mean. For example, an ICE officer right now can't walk up to a Chicago police officer and ask questions about someone in the neighborhood and expect an answer if they're trying to detain them for immigration. But some other folks hear the word sanctuary and they think that they are literally shielded from ICE, that ICE isn't allowed to touch them. So that's why these folks think that it's exacerbating the crisis at the southern border. Now, as for the laws themselves and how they work in practice, the DOJ says in their lawsuit that the state sometimes actively thwarts investigations, and they're asking for a court order that basically makes state and local protections for immigrants like sanctuary policies illegal. Now, Governor J.B. Pritzker's response, as it has been with other matters so far in this presidency, has been pretty blunt. We look forward to seeing them in court, was his quote. And he says the Trust Act, which is the law that I'm talking about, which was passed in 2017, has always been compliant with federal law, and it still is. And he's going to defend it, and the state's going to defend it. And that is basically the lines from Mayor Brandon Johnson in Chicago and Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President. They all responded similarly. They said they're going to review the suit and they're going to react appropriately. And it's interesting that the Trump administration is trying to do this again, because if you remember, Attorney General Jeff Sessions filed suit in 2018 and threatened to withhold federal funding over Chicago sanctuary laws. But eventually, the court did side with the city there.
Alex, I understand how Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch got real fired up last Wednesday about everything that's been going on. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, he did. And he wasn't the only one. So last week, the House passed a series of resolutions. And these resolutions are kind of what I like to call the strongly worded letters of the legislature. They don't hold any legal weight per se, but they do signal whatever the intent of the legislative body is. And it lets lawmakers get their thoughts on the record about whatever the topic is. And last week, those topics were the January 6th pardons, the tariffs, the federal funding freeze, the elimination of DEI programs. So basically, the House passed a bunch of resolutions that said we, the Illinois House, are against this. And Democrats got pretty mad when Republicans walked out of this debate. And you mentioned Speaker Welch. Well, here he is.
They should be here to speak out against fascism. We cannot be silent. We must rise up, speak out. We cannot walk out on the people that sent us here.
And Republicans heard all that and they were just kind of like, oh, wow. OK, we must have struck a nerve, huh? And they chalked the whole thing up to a distraction because they said that they're here to do, you know, they came here to do the work of the people. And they might have a bit of a point because we're almost at the budget address. The budget address is scheduled for the 19th of February. And doing these non-binding resolutions is so far one of the only public facing things that the House has done. And they've been working behind the scenes. They've been organizing things and getting stuff ready for the budget. But as far as things that they've actually done on the floor in public, this was one of the only things. But with that said, it does answer a question that a lot of people have right now. How are state Democrats and Democrats in general pushing back against Trump? And, you know, the state of Illinois, there's only so much they can do. And this is one of those things, just basically passing strongly worded letters.
Reuters reports that Canada wants to deepen its economic ties with the European Union in the face of the threatened U.S. tariffs. And so some context for that, Canada and the EU have benefited from a free trade agreement since 2017. And after President Trump announced tariffs on Canada and Mexico a week ago, but before he paused their imposition for 30 days, Canada threatened retaliatory duties and legal action against the United States. Alex, bringing all this to Illinois, I understand Governor Pritzker is meeting with Canada and Mexico on his own.
He is. He's on the phone while the tariffs are on pause. And there is a lot of anti-American sentiment out there. And just like speaking personally, I think there's more anti-American sentiment, at least in some circles, than I've seen maybe ever. And Pritzker is trying to explain to these countries that Illinois is not a part of that. And he was explaining that to reporters last week. He said he's basically telling our neighbors that Illinois, while part of America, doesn't want these tariffs. Here's what he said.
It's important to convey what companies and what product we produce and have here in the state of Illinois to those countries, and are asking them not to make that part of the list of things that they are going to retaliate against when the trade war begins, if it does.
And that's pretty much the extent of it. He doesn't want Canada to tariff things from Illinois companies like John Deere, ADM, Caterpillar, Ferrero. And the list goes on. He's worried that the scenes that you may remember you saw in liquor stores in Canada initially after the tariffs were first announced, all the American products were off the shelves. And that's not what he wants to see for Illinois products in Canada.
Alex, how much trade does Illinois do with Canada and Mexico?
A lot. Canada is a very big trading partner for Illinois. And it's actually funny. I don't know if you were watching the Super Bowl last night, but there was a full 60-second ad for the province of Ontario. And it had images of Chicago during the voiceover about trade just superimposed. And it was pretty telling. Illinois exported in 2023. This is the latest data that we have. Illinois exported more than $20 billion worth of goods to Canada. That's billion with a B. But we do have a trade deficit with them because we import a lot more from Canada than we export. We import a lot of crude oil from Canada, and that's where the majority of that comes from. Mexico, we still do a lot of trade with them. We exported about $13 billion worth of good to Mexico in 2023.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. I'm Christine Herman. We're talking about the latest in Illinois politics, especially when it comes to how Democrats in power here are pushing back against Republican policy and actions in Washington. We have a call from Paul in Urbana on line one. Paul, what's your question?
Well, I wanted to know what we can anticipate. Mayor Washington and a couple of other mayors are going to the Hill tomorrow to testify about it. And who knows, maybe they'll call Pritzker in to defend the Safety Act to them, that it's about public safety. So I don't know if you have any idea what's going to happen with that. And I'll hang up. Thanks.
Alex, can you respond to that?
Well, it's entirely possible that Governor J.B. Pritzker could be called to Washington to talk about this. And in fact, he's talked about that a little bit so far in terms of whether he's going to have any conversations with the administration, how he's going to work with the administration. And he basically says if they want to talk to him, he will. But as far as Mayor Johnson going to Washington tomorrow, unfortunately, I don't have an answer for that. I haven't really looked into what his plans are, what his itinerary is.
So with all that's going on, it's not just lawmakers who are pushing back. You covered a protest at the Capitol last week. Brian Mackey, our host, talked with another reporter on Friday about that protest. But can you remind us what happened?
Yeah, it was part of an effort called 50 States, 50 Marches. And I first started hearing about this a little less than a week before it actually happened. And that kind of speaks to the organic nature of the whole thing. Initially, there wasn't a whole lot of central organization. And eventually, there was an organization that stepped in. I can't recall the name of it right now, but they were involved in a president or in a Bernie Sanders run for president in 2016. So it was really loosely organized, and it was designed that way to kind of prove a point. And I guess the point was, we don't need central organization. We don't need people telling us what to do in order to, you know, say what we think needs to be done. And that was kind of the vibe, at least in Springfield. There were between 250, 300 people, I would say, in front of the Lincoln statue, in front of the Capitol. And they were there for a lot of reasons. A lot of folks were scared about immigration policies. A lot of folks were scared about what Elon Musk is doing in the Treasury Department, for example. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of fear. So a lot of people were coming together, not just to speak out, but just to kind of, I found that there was a lot of community building. There were a lot of people that wanted to just come because, number one, they didn't want to stay home. But number two, they wanted to meet people who were like them. They wanted to know that they weren't alone as they were going forward in this. Because, you know, as we've heard for the last few weeks, there are people who are pretty unsure what the future is going to bring.
Alex, what is the latest on lawsuits over the birthright citizenship ban and the stopping of federal aid to Illinois by the Trump administration?
Well, as of this morning, we'll start with the birthright citizenship one. As of this morning, there are now three federal judges who have blocked the effort to end birthright citizenship from the Trump administration. You might recall, in case you're just to recap, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The birthright citizenship initiative is he's targeting the children of parents who are in the country illegally. So basically, if you were born here right now, you are a legal citizen. But if your parents are here illegally, the Trump administration is trying to make it so that you are no longer a citizen. And a judge this morning in New Hampshire blocked that order. And that was at the request of the ACLU of Maine, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire. Now, 22 states already have sued so far, as well as various organizations. And they say that if this takes effect, it's basically going to create an underclass of stateless residents. And a stateless resident is somebody who, when they're deported, they don't have anywhere to go, essentially. Last week, a federal judge in Seattle blocked the order, and that's the case that involves Illinois. Arizona, Oregon, and Washington joined Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul in that suit. Now, I know this is a lot, but stick with me here. That suit was consolidated with a lawsuit brought by the Northwest Immigrants' Rights Project on behalf of a proposed class of expectant parents who are in the U.S. unlawfully. So as this continues, there's going to be more lawsuits. There's going to be more lawsuits from various places. More of them are going to be consolidated, and it's going to be very confusing to try to follow all of them. And I guess that was kind of the point initially with the whole shock and awe, the shock and awe proposal that Trump had initially.
We've got just about 2 minutes left, but Alex, I wonder if we could touch on a completely different topic. Are we still waiting for a verdict in the trial of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan? And can you kind of remind us of where things are at with that?
So we are. We're still waiting for a verdict in the Madigan trial. Jurors are back at work as of a couple of hours ago. They left for the weekend, but they're back in as of 9 a.m. And they've spent over 50 hours considering this case so far. This is the ninth day of deliberations. And just to bring you up to speed about what this is all about. So Mike Madigan was, for a really long time, considered the most powerful person in the state house, state government as a whole, really. And his leadership was really unquestioned. So he and his longtime friend, ally, confidants, he's been called a lot of things. But his friend, Michael McLean, they're both on trial for a racketeering conspiracy. McLean is accused of acting as Madigan's agent, and they say that Madigan was basically leading a criminal enterprise. It's a pretty staunch argument that they're making, where they outline five instances in this complaint of where Madigan and McLean conspired to have, you know, pretty big companies like AT&T, ComEd, pay thousands of dollars to various interests to have Madigan look favorably on legislation. And that's basically it's basically what they are accusing right now. And the jury's out. So we are going to it could be any day right now. We've basically been on pins and needles trying to figure out when the verdict is coming. And so far, all that we've seen from the jury are a couple of questions here and there. And they've been, as you might imagine, in a trial like this, they're trying to make sure that all their I's are dotted and their T's are crossed. And we'll be waiting for a verdict.
Alex Stegman stays on top of all the statehouse coverage for NPR stations across Illinois. Alex, thank you so much for your thorough overview of what's been going on and for joining us on the 21st show today.
You bet. My pleasure.
When we come back, more than 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease, and the illness disproportionately affects African Americans at about twice the rate of their white peers. We'll talk with Illinois healthcare providers working to address those disparities and the producer and director of a new documentary film that aims to raise awareness and inspire hope. You can give us a call if you have a question or comment about Alzheimer's disease, if it has affected you or your loved ones. Our number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We'll be discussing this topic for the rest of the hour today. We have to take a short break. You're listening to The 21st Show. Stay with us.